rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Max City Morning Show. I'm your host, Elliot Pierre. We're going to start today's episode off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world to me. So thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
How she caught me, loves. You're listening to the Max City Morning Show.
Keith Simpson here from Noral Toyota. Just a quick chat about the wonderful community we live in here. As you guys know, we support the Oil Barons. We've joined the Drive-In Movie Theater. We're involved in the marathon here in Fort McMurray, and make sure we're taking care of the kids and all the local businesses, all the local charities, and all the local foundations, guys. That's what makes this community such an amazing place to live.
And we are back. Big shout out to Noral Toyota, our title sponsor for today's episode. We really do appreciate your ongoing support, so thank you. As everybody at home knows, I don't introduce my guests because they can do a better job of that than myself. So can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
My name is Naya Gadlivo-Hello. I've been living in town now since 2006, back and forth, but I've mostly been living here since I immigrated from Africa and then Newfoundland.
There we go. And you've been here before, so this is your second time. So welcome back. So you've come here before and you were speaking about your food truck, which we'll talk about today as well. But the topic of discussion today is you've brought a big manuscript here. There's lots and lots of paper. So what am I holding in my hand?
You're basically holding a summary of my memoir.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a summary of your memoir.
Just a summary.
Okay. Yeah. So it's like, obviously the memoir is about your life. So yes. It's like, although this seems thick, like your life is more than just these pages. Yeah. So this is the summary. Like, is the book completed or are we just talking about the memoir today? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, it's completed.
Okay.
Yeah, we've done all the pricing. So right now I'm basically in the marketing stage.
Okay.
I have to go out there and basically sell my book or sell myself before we can release it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about the book for a little bit. What sparked this creative venture for you?
After the actually it was the same day as the wildfire, as we were leaving town back in May 2016.
Yeah.
To me, it was like a flashback. As we were driving out of town, I completely transformed into something else. I was basically looking at my own life, like in front of me. It was a complete flashback. From driving from town all the way to Edmonton. We left here around 5 p.m. And by the time we got to Edmonton at 4 a.m., I was basically just reliving my life.
Right.
Back when I was small.
Okay. And so these flashbacks when you were small, like did you relived from like childhood all the way to like when you were in Fort McMurray or like what were you flashbacking on?
Yeah, basically that was it. Because at that time I was looking at my daughter and I feel like she became me when I was small because I been through the civil war in Congo.
Right.
And yeah, where I lost, I used to be a twin, so I lost my sister, my older brother, and my father through that.
Right.
So, and through when the wildfire happened, like I said, that's what inspired me to write. And that's when I realized I had issues. All these years, I realized I wasn't maybe as healthy as I thought I was mentally.
Right, right.
And it wasn't until we got to Edmonton and we started getting help through counseling, then I felt bad. I felt like this whole, you know, I had a burden on me and I felt, for once in my life, I felt better that I could talk about it.
Okay.
And I got counseling and help because we never got that when we first got here.
Right. Yeah. And so did you start writing this right after that or has this started years later?
Right after that, when we came back, after the fire, I was kind of rebuilding the town.
Yeah.
Trying to get back to normal.
Right.
And then I started taking notes. Like I say, it took a lot of counseling. I really got a lot of help.
Yeah.
Like a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it wasn't, I mean, a wildfire was a really big tragedy, to the entire community. But for me, as sad as it is, I'm glad it happened because that's how I ended up getting the help that I didn't even know I needed.
That's right.
Yeah.
So how did that happen for you? How, in regards to you came, like we're evacuating out of Fort McMurray, how did the counseling component start? Is that something you said, like, I need to talk to somebody, or was it somebody who recommended? Like, how did you start the counseling process?
Oh, yeah, like I say, as we're driving to Edmonton, we got to the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day, we're trying to find the expo center. We're trying to,
I remember
to
that.
Connect. We have no clothes.
Yeah, that's right.
And I just remember driving through traffic lights. I wasn't there.
Yeah.
I'm surprised I never got in an accident or got a ticket. I was my own. Like, I was just doing whatever. I was going through red lights, mm-hmm. everything.
Yeah.
And then at some point, I just stopped. I broke down. I completely started crying. And a lady came over to me and asked me what's wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then she pointed you in the direction of a counselor? Or was that something when you got to the expo, they said, hey, this service is available?
Yeah, she knew. Well, when I explained that, you know, I just came from where the evacuees from Fort McMurray, mm-hmm. and then I just said, I'm a mess. I'm breaking down. This whole ordeal just reminded me, it's not as bad as what I went through, but I'm like, it just completely reminded me of my whole life, and I'm not normal right now.
Right.
So I ended up parking my car, and she was able to get me to the right place.
Okay, so this is a complete stranger.
Yeah, a complete stranger.
Oh my gosh, I love it. That was, like you said, the fire tragedy, not taking away from that. That being said, there are so many great stories and positive things that came out of it.
Yeah.
And I feel like myself, like born and raised Fort McMurray, I was part of that evacuation as well. The kindness that people showed throughout the whole process was unbelievable. Like, I know for myself personally, like, we were driving and we got to, we pulled over in Boyle. And so at the time, my little boy was just not even, I think a little bit over 2 years old at that point. And so we pulled into Boyle at the gas station to fill up. And a gentleman came over and he's like, hey, how are you doing? And I was like, oh, I'm doing good. He's like, you're from Fort McMurray, obviously. And then I was like, yeah. And he literally just pulled a wad of cash. He's like, here, take this. And I'm just like, no, man, like, I'm good. Like, we're cool. Like, I can pay for the gas. He's like, no, I need to do, I need to do something. You need to take this money. And I was just like, no, like, it's all right, man. Like, it's okay. And he's like, no, you have a kid, you have a wife. Like, and he made me take that money. And big shout out to that guy. Like, it was a decent amount of cash. And he just felt he needed to do something. And I have tons of stories like that while we were evacuated in Edmonton. Like, there was the kindness of strangers. Unbelievable. Yeah. So when you're going through and you're reliving all of these moments of your life, at that point, was part of the counseling to actually write down some of it to process, or was that just something that you felt helped you with the coping component?
Yeah, through counseling, she kind of, like, I seen a few different counselors, and through that, they kind of told me, like, what techniques, what will help you feel better.
Right.
And I felt like, you know, writing, maybe a journal. So I started from there.
Yeah.
Just making notes, writing about how I felt, my feelings, all that. And
then
it wasn't actually until COVID that I decided we were on lockdown that I just...
Yeah, you're just right. So Tanner likes to make fun of me because I have a book, a.k.a. a diary. I like to call it a journal or an adventure book, but Tanner's like, let's just call a spade, it's a diary, bro. So I write my thoughts and things that happen during the day down in there as well.
And your dreams.
And my dreams. My dreams are in there too. When I wake up in the morning, I jot down my dreams and my daydreams during the day. So yeah, it's a diary. But I find that pen to paper works for me. Like, I don't do so well when I put like a note in my phone. Like, I like the pen and paper. When you're writing down your notes, what's your process?
Yeah, the same.
Pen and paper.
Pen and paper. Yeah, because I love, I mean, I know when I speak, I have such a strong accent, but when I write, it's really, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see some of my writing, it's completely different. You won't think it's the same person.
Right.
So, yeah, because that's another thing I remember back in high school. I used to escape into reading books. Mm. I'll sit down and just read.
Right. So you just, I was about to ask a question, and you kind of touched on it already. You write this, are you writing in your home language, or are you writing in English?
Both.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about that.
Both like you're switching back and forth. Yeah. Incredible.
Yeah. So like, can you explain that to me? So like when you say both, like you just start writing and then you switch over, like how does this work?
I don't know, it's strange. I don't know, the brain, I guess the brain's just amazing in general, because I'm thinking in my language, but I'm right down on paper, it's in English.
Wow.
So you're just like translating the fly.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah.
That's amazing.
And then so like you say you'll write in both languages, right? Do you know when you're switching, or do you just switch over?
It just switch over. Crazy. Now it just switches over.
That's crazy.
Amazing.
Yeah. That's fascinating.
Yeah. Because in my head, like personally, I would have assumed that you would be, because it's your first language, you would write in that and then afterwards try to transcribe it. But no, it's happening in live time.
It's happening in live time.
Wow. That is fascinating. You're so much smarter than me. Anybody who speaks a different language to me is just like, it's mind-blowing. So, okay. So now with this book, do you have like the hard copy, the pictures, the cover? Like, is that all done, or are you still in the process of trying to make that happen?
That's pretty much the full manuscript. That's the layout, everything, the way it's going to be printed.
Okay.
In 3 weeks, I should have a hard copy.
Okay. Yeah. And so you've... when making a hard copy, you have to work with like an illustrator to make the cover and everything. So who came up with the artwork for your book?
The front page?
Yes, yes.
I was actually a friend of mine here in town.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very neat.
I didn't want just my own like picture on the cover page. I needed to incorporate a few ideas, and we were talking about it. So Brad Maley, the owner of Popeyes,
he
was like, oh, how about you kind of do something like, you know, the fire.
Yeah.
You when you were a child, tears, the blood, all that stuff just incorporated in the,
The cover page. Nice. So is it Brad who did the artwork?
He drafted the idea.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, listen, Tanner tapped his phone. That means he's ready with his segment, the Max City Minute. But before we get into that, we got to give a big shout out to Carrie from Patchouli Rose for being an ongoing supporter of the show. Thank you, Carrie. If anybody's out there and they're looking for any skin-based products, or if you're a male looking for some beard stuff as well, Carrie is the way to go. Patchouli Rose. Carrie, thank you for your ongoing support. Tanner, hit her with the Max City Minute.
All right. Question number one today. What is something you learned about yourself from writing your own memoir?
What did something I learned about myself? That I'm actually stronger than I thought. I'm really independent. I'm my own person. I have my own voice. I've been through so much in life that a lot of people never will be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Question number two. What is one thing you wish more people could know when it comes to mental health?
Actually, that's another thing about me that people don't realize. When certain people behave a certain way, like I love to joke through either my post or what I do, because that's how I cope through things every day. I don't take medication on a daily basis. I'm not drinking or doing drugs, so I just like to, you know, to do funny things that will make people laugh or make me feel better. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and mental health, like I said, it's not funny at all. It's a big thing.
Yeah,
it's serious.
Mm-hmm. Question number three: what is your favorite animal?
We actually had a little pet lion when I was little.
No way.
We What?
We did.
That has to be the coolest answer that I thought possible.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Question number four. What is one thing you love most about the city of Fort McMurray?
The people. The fact that I'm watching it grow, because... Yeah, like even in my memoir, when we first immigrated, we went to the refugee camp. It was just my mom and my family, and then all these other people from different countries started coming in there. So here also in town, I'm seeing a lot of different people from different countries, culture. Yeah, it's actually from what I see in 2006 to now, it's
traumatic.
Yeah.
And your final question, what do you think is one book that you read that had the most influence on you?
I think Night by Ellie Wiesel.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's that book about?
It's also about the concentration camps and all that. My life was not as traumatic as them, but I some of the similarity, because I remember us going 3 months with no food. We lived off chamomile tea, wild chamomile tea, and sweet potatoes for 3 months. I was skin and bones.
Yeah.
I mean, even in high school when people did Anne Frank, I broke down. I couldn't do it.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Those have been your 5 questions.
So my question, do you still drink chamomile tea, or is that something you're just like, no, I'm never drinking that again?
And sweet potatoes.
Yeah.
No, I do every now and then. I still, but because that's something that saved us, chamomile tea.
Right.
And sweet potatoes. We lived off of that for 3 months for some reason.
Yeah.
The UN decided not to bring food in the camp.
Right.
We were gated, basically like the size of waterways.
Yeah.
Completely gated. The Malawian police around it. We couldn't leave.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were in there. And for 3 months, we didn't know the news. We had no radio, nothing. But for 3 months, there was no food.
Right.
I'm going to take this in a totally opposite direction, because I just have to know more about this lion that you had as a pet. Like, straight up. Like, we're just not going to be able to gloss over this one. Like,
No.
What's the story there? How big did it get before it wasn't your pet anymore?
Was always a pet until we left.
Okay, so it wasn't just a baby lion. Like, you just had, a lion.
Yeah, well, it started from a baby.
Yeah,
and then
got
full-grown? Most people have dogs. Yeah, here in Canada, you mostly have, I guess, dogs.
Yes, okay.
Yeah. Dogs, cats, Africa, small cats.
Yeah, in Africa, it's normal to have a lion or a monkey or...
That is...
As a pet, if you can, I don't know, afford it, I guess.
Or, handle it?
Or handle it.
So, you're not afraid of the lion?
No. You tame it.
Oh, my goodness. So, okay. I've never had pets, so I'm not the expert on pets in general. But most people that I know who have pets here in Canada have, they're indoor. I have to assume a lion is not an indoor pet.
In Africa?
Yeah.
In Africa, I don't know if you've seen the Nigerian movies. That's how most African homes are. They're gated, and then you have in the back, you have the little home where the guard,
They're like compounds, right?
Yeah,
right.
Compounds.
Yes.
So, yeah, you have the lion.
In the compound?
In there. Yeah.
So you're just coming out of your house every morning, and it is boom. Yeah. Hey, what's up, Tony the tiger?
Yeah.
Wow.
Cool. That's wild. And so how do you go about, do you just find the animal in the jungle and then you say, okay, you're ours? Do you go buy, do you go to a pet store and you say, I'm looking for a lion today? How does the beginning stages of getting a lion begin?
You get gifted. So like you said, you have different stages or classes of living in Africa.
Okay.
So something like that is something that you get gifted through the tribes.
Okay.
Yeah, in the forest. So once they gift it to you, it becomes, and that's why it's so easy to tame or get along. I don't know if they pray for it. I don't know what they do, but it's a gift. It's something you get gifted.
Amazing.
Yeah. Could you imagine in Canada, somebody just comes to your house and is like, here's a baby wolf. Have fun.
Yeah.
I just gotta keep, where am I gonna keep this thing? What are we gonna do?
My favorite, I'm so blessed that this is my life, that I just get to talk to people and I find out new and exciting things about them and their culture. This is something that I would have never in my wildest dreams have imagined, that people gift one another.
I thought it was a stereotype, straight up. I thought it was a stereotype. I didn't think it was I didn't think that was real, because those are killer animals.
You gotta
be careful around them. They're your pet and they're tame, but you still can't turn your back to them, and you can't You got to feed them at certain times, and you can't play with them when they're hungry, and, like, it's like a whole thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. When you're in the situation, it's, I don't know, for some reason, it's just naturally, you don't think that.
Well, right.
You're just completely immune to, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Surrounding.
How big did this lion get?
Lion size? Like, they're, like, 800 pounds, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy.
Was it a female or a male?
A male.
What was its name?
Annie.
Annie. Oh, my gosh. Amazing. Amazing. Okay.
Yeah, they grow to 10 feet. They grow between 330 and 550 pounds.
Unreal. That is so cool. Okay, we're going to switch gears because we're just going to talk about this lion for the rest of the episode.
We did.
Yeah.
No, we did.
Okay. Well, before we're going to, you get a little bit of bonus time because you do have a business in town that we need to promote and talk about a little bit. So let's jump into that. So you have a food truck. What's the food truck called again?
The Lunchbox.
The Lunchbox. There we go. And so how's that been going for you?
Yeah, it's been going okay. But like I said earlier, pretty challenging because we have employee issues. And then you have Tent City down the road.
Right.
So you're coming into your business in the morning, no propane. Mm. Yeah, it's
challenging.
Yeah,
challenging.
A lot of challenges.
So where do you normally park your vehicle?
It stays at Home Hardware all season.
Oh, right. We talked about that. Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. So what are the hours of operations?
We try to aim for 11 to 8, but like I say, it's pretty challenging.
Yeah.
A lot of people, like most people, will know what the challenges you're dealing with behind the scene. Because they're expecting, 11 to 8, you should be open. But like I said, with Tent City down the road, we're dealing through a lot.
Yeah,
you have equipment breakdown or you're out of propane. It's a lot of headache.
A lot of headache, fair enough. Well, if you're at home and you're watching and you're looking for somewhere to eat, Home Hardware, parking lot, do it up. All right, so Tanner tapped his watch a while ago, so that means we're out of time. Because, well, you just had some great answers, so we need to talk about that. But before we cut you loose, everybody gets a shameless shout-out or plug. So you have the mic, the camera, the lights. Have fun.
Shout-out to anybody?
Anything.
Yeah, I want to shout-out to Home Hardware for having us there the last 2-3 years. If you're looking for, set of new patio chairs, paint, they have a lot of selection in gardening and tools. Yeah, so go on down.
There we go. Awesome. Well, for McMurray Wood Buffalo, the rest of the world, that's been another episode of the Max City Morning Show. From the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for tuning in. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Noral Toyota, as well as Carrie from Patchouli Rose. Thank you both for your ongoing support. Hope everybody at home is having a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Peace.